guys. So I'm sure it will be no surprise to you that I'm going to be talking about gratitude tonight, since it is a holiday of Thanksgiving. And I'm sure many of you guys, like our family, have certain family traditions that you do to help you focus on gratitude, especially at Thanksgiving time. So see if any of these resonate with you. Maybe at your Thanksgiving celebration, everyone goes around and kind of shares what they're thankful for. I know some people in here use like butcher paper and they put it as a tablecloth and then they write down things they're grateful for and then they bring it out in following years to kind of reminisce the things they were grateful for from years past. I know some of you in here take to social media from November 1st to November 30th, reminding others and yourselves about all the things that you're grateful for. And I love all of those ideas. They're awesome. Year after year, me personally, I try to work on being grateful and more intentional with being grateful for the entire year. I've even Googled, if you guys have ever done this, I've Googled gratitude exercises to help try to figure out how can I stay focused on being grateful, not just at a holiday time, but like throughout the whole year. Here's some things that Google came up with, and I've done all these things, and maybe you guys can relate to these things. Gratitude journal, handwritten note. Random act of kindness or paying it forward, you know, like when you're at the drive-thru and you pay for the person in front of you. All these things can help with gratitude. Give a gift, something simple like just thanking someone, or maybe create a gratitude jar. All of these things I've tried, and I come up with every excuse in the book why I can't do it all year long. I come up with, I'm busy, I'm working too much, I'm in school. Sometimes I'm just tired and overwhelmed. Then January arrives, and you know January in Michigan really stinks, and it's cold, and it is so hard to be grateful when there's piles of dark snow piling up, the roads are icy, and the days are short and dark. And it's during that time my husband and I look forward to trying to take a trip to Florida, just a small little trip for 4 days, and it's a trip I swear I beg God to give me. And I go something like this. I pray, Lord, please give us the resources and the time to go to Florida to reconnect before the new year starts. And year after year, God has answered that prayer with a yes. And then what do? I give a quick, thanks, I appreciate it. Not really acknowledging the gift that I've just been given. I think gratitude is often seen as a temporary fix, a short-term solution to an immediate problem. We know gratitude does something for our hearts and our brains. We know that. And so something's going wrong, you're having a tough day, you're like, oh, I'll just shoot up a quick thank you, God, and practice gratitude, instead of seeing it and making it an ongoing discipline. Me, personally, I'm tired of seeing gratitude as an extra blessing sort of attitude reserved for a holiday or two, throughout the year, or for a special event that warms my heart and makes me grateful. I want to use gratitude as a superpower given to us by the Holy Spirit to use all year long. I want to show you guys some statistics. I'm going to get into the brain for a minute because I think the brain is really fascinating. So I want to give you some statistics on what researchers say gratitude can do to our brains. Okay, so the first one, gratitude regulates the sympathetic nervous system. That's our fight or flight that activates our anxiety responses. Gratitude conditions the brain to filter out the negative thoughts and helps us focus more on positive thoughts. So it helps filter out the toxic thoughts or emotions of envy, jealousy, resentment, anxiety. Gratitude can lower our cortisol levels and improve cardiac function. So actually our hearts would be better. We would physically be better. Practicing gratitude, participants that practiced gratitude were more resilient to emotional setbacks and negative experiences. Practicing gratitude can help individuals handle stress better and actually rewires the brain to cope with difficult circumstances. Studies indicate that people who are grateful to God are healthier and have higher levels of stress resilience. It's hypothesized that gratitude actually activates the reward center of your brain and can alter the way we see the world and how we see ourselves. I also learned that consistently practicing gratitude actually rewires our neural pathways in our brain to create healthier thinking habits and healthier responses. Based on all of these studies, you guys, we would be less anxious, less stressed, more resilient, and just all around healthier people, all because of gratitude. Not a statistic, but I love Danielle Strickland, an author and a pastor, so I have to bring her up anytime I get an opportunity to be up here. But this is what Danielle says about people who are grateful, those who live lives that are genuinely thankful, are the kind of people you want to be around. They make everyone's life larger. This kind of spirit is very infectious. I mean, seriously, gratitude can change everything, including our health, our relationships, and most importantly, our faith. It is like gratitude is a superpower that like we all have access to, one that we don't have to wear a special suit like in The Incredibles, you know how he had a super suit, we don't need to wear a super suit to have our superpower, and we don't need to get bit by a radioactive spider like Spider-Man to have gratitude. We don't have to be exposed to an excessive amount of radiation like the Hulk. We don't get it from the sun. We don't get it from our heritage. We don't get it from science experiments. We don't get it from aliens. It's a gift from God that we have the privilege of using and sharing with others. What if we took it a step further and thought of gratitude as a way to help us fight the voices and images of an ungrateful world that we're living in right now? I know what you guys know what I mean. We're in a hard world right now. We're living in a world that's full of anger, hatred, entitlement, greed, dissatisfaction, the ever-present sense of needing more, wanting more, deserving more, the constant sense that I'm not enough, or I don't have enough, or I'm lacking something. And this is not an accident. It's very intentional. It's intentionally designed to force us to feel dissatisfied with everything we have. We live in a world where power is rooted in our income, in our job, in our net worth, in our appearances, even violence. What if we flipped the script and thought of power as being grateful and thankful and kind and gracious and loving, standing with those who are excluded, because that's what Jesus would do. We have to remember, like, the world is hard right now, but we're not fighting each other. We're actually fighting something much bigger. It says in Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Did you guys know that we take in thousands of images every day? Thousands of videos or social media pictures or billboards when you're driving. Whether we intend to or not, we are being inundated with those images. And all of these images and videos and voices are all telling us one main story. We aren't enough. We don't have enough, so we should have more. We aren't enough, so we deserve more. All of these feelings lead to complete and utter dissatisfaction with everything. Suddenly, the house you saved up for and you loved all of a sudden becomes not good enough, not new enough, not big enough. The furniture in that house, outdated, so you have to get new furniture. Clothes that you're wearing are out of style. Eventually, your friends or your significant other becomes not cool enough, not kind enough, not gracious enough. We live in a world that constantly tells us we don't have enough, we aren't enough, and that we deserve more. I know you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Like I said before, the world is super hard right now, and I feel like we're all experiencing that. We're all feeling that. And although it can sound so simplistic and so trite, I think the one way to combat it is by the use of consistent gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. As I was thinking about gratitude and talking to RJ about gratitude, one of the things that we were talking about is how gratitude is actually a spiritual discipline, and it requires practice. So if you play a sport, it's kind of like this. If you play a sport and you're training your body to do something, you're training your brain and your body, it's called motor muscle memory. Motor muscle memory is defined as the brain's ability to store and retrieve motor skills through repetition, making movements automatic and effortless over time. So an example that I could think of to illustrate this was, so all of our girls play college softball, and one of them pitched all through college. And this is how she pitches. She just does this. This is not something you can just go and do, right? This is a very weird, odd-looking way to pitch. But after lessons and lessons and lessons, her coach would say, you're just simply tuning up your fine motor muscle memory. You're going to eventually go out to the mound and never think about this motion. And he was right. She did it so much, she'd get out there, she never thought about where her arms had to be, where her legs had to be, because she practiced it all the time. Gratitude's the same way. What if we were thinking of gratitude as like us fine-tuning our spiritual discipline, motor muscle memory? As you practice it, your mind and body will automatically engage in gratitude. It just becomes natural. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter if the circumstances are difficult or challenging, your body is prepared and it will just automatically be able to practice gratitude. Daniel Strickland talks about gratitude like this. I love what she says. It says, gratitude can literally cultivate the opposite spirit of lack that is perpetuated by our current culture with something that can truly satisfy your deepest selves. And she's so right, because we have to feel like we are not just more than enough. That what God has done for us is enough to be grateful for. And Jesus calls us to live a life of abundance. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Tonight I want to look at Luke 17:11-19. It's going to be on page 1627 in the Bible in front of you, or you can pull out your phone. And it's the story of the 10 lepers. And I want to talk about this story and how gratitude was reflected in this story and in how we can utilize that in our own lives. So we're going to start in verse 11. And it says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. A couple things to know about leprosy is that it just wasn't a physical affliction. It was actually a sign of sin. It was a skin disease that was seen as an outward expression of a person's inner spiritual sins. According to Mosaic law, the lepers were declared unclean and had to live outside of their community. This isolation served as a powerful metaphor for the separation from God and people that sin creates. So the Jewish people were required to go back to the Jewish leaders in order to be prove that they were cleansed, to be reintegrated into their society. It was a rule. It was a ritual. It was what they were required to do. And as I was reading this, I thought, they must have been so focused on the rules and the rituals and what they could get out of it. They were getting to be able to be reintegrated back into their society that they forgot all about showing even a little bit of gratitude, not even a quick thank you. reminds me of how often we get caught up in rules and laws and rituals and forget the simple act of thankfulness. The other thing I thought was interesting, that the Samaritan was the only one who came back. He was a foreigner, often hated by the Jews, but he didn't have to worry about the rules or rituals because he wasn't required to go back to the leaders because he wasn't Jewish. He wasn't required to be reintegrated back into society, so none of those things mattered to him. All that really mattered was that Jesus healed him. And then it says that he came and he fell at Jesus' feet. I mean, think about what a beautiful expression of worship that is. Falling and thanking God and Jesus for being healed. In the text, Jesus tells the Samaritan, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." The Greek word for "made you well" can also mean saved or made whole. It's pronounced sozo. This tells us that the Samaritan received more than just a physical healing. His faith led to his salvation and a complete restoration, all while showing gratitude. Scripture refers to him as being cleansed spiritually and physically. I spent a lot of time studying this, and man, I felt so convicted because it packs a whole lot of truth about our tendencies in human nature. How many times has my first instinct or your first instinct been to choose selfishness over gratitude? To be fixated on what's next or what I need rather than looking back at all the times God has been unbelievably good to me? I actually think the Samaritan had a full understanding of who the giver was, Jesus. All those things about being reintegrated into society, all those things didn't matter. All that mattered was Jesus. And although all the lepers were healed, everyone was healed, the Samaritan received like the full healing. He received the full spiritual restoration. It went beyond simply just a cure for him. It was a heart change. It was a relationship with Jesus change. His action showed a heart that recognized that Jesus was the source of his healing. That shows me that Jesus used gratitude to change hearts and change people. And I think that's what he does today in all of us. And I think the other 9 lepers missed out on the greatest spiritual blessing of being whole again. They missed out on so much from not going back to seeing Jesus. They missed out on a deeper, meaningful connection with Jesus. And I think that's what we miss out on when we aren't practicing gratitude. We miss out on that deeper connection and relationship with Jesus. Gratitude grows our faith, and it grows our relationship with God. And it also challenges us to remember that all of the good things we have are not because of any of the good that we have done, but it's all because of the goodness of our God. Gratitude is more than a gesture or a word. It's an action. It's a verb. It's the opposite of spectating. It allows us to show action to demonstrate the love of Jesus in this big, gigantic, chaotic world. And I don't know about you, I don't want to just talk about it anymore. I want to act on it. How can we cultivate a posture of gratitude? What is the Holy Spirit putting on your heart? Our gratitude is an expression of our love, of our expression of Jesus in our life. And to the core of my being, I never want to be one of the 10 lepers that fails to look back and glorify God for what he's done. My prayer today is that gratitude for the Lord and the blessings that he has given each of us will be on the forefront of everything we do and say, not just on Thanksgiving, but all year round. Even when it's tough, even when it's hard, even when it's easier to sulk than praise, I want to adopt the mindset of gratitude. The world and the enemy and the flesh loves to keep us in postures of selfishness and greed. But the kingdom of God, the posture of gratitude, is one of the most powerful tools in fighting the hardships of our life and the powers of this world. So for those of you who've recently lost a loved one, or you're struggling financially, or your relationships are struggling, or you're a single mom who's just trying to make it through the day, the superpower is for you too. You have access to it. The superpower doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're in elementary school, middle school, high school, senior citizen, young adult, college, you have access to it today too. So even today, while I'm sure all of our to-do lists are a mile long before tomorrow comes, I hope that we can all be grateful for the amazing opportunities God has provided with our jobs and our school and our people in our life. Even today, while I have piles of laundry and literally a sink full of dishes, I'm grateful to go home to a beautiful home that God has provided. And even today, if everything and anything went wrong, I will still be grateful. Because no matter what, we serve a God who is generous, kind, just, loving, merciful, and patient. And that's reason enough to be grateful. As we celebrate with family and friends, what are you thankful for? What are the big noticeable things that you're thankful for? Maybe it's like us celebrating the birth of a new baby, or maybe it's a restored relationship. But what about the little unnoticeable things? We can be grateful for those too, like when your Wi-Fi router goes out and you don't have to get up and fix it because it automatically comes back on. Like, that's something to be grateful for. Or you're sleeping and you turn your pillow over and it's nice and cool. Like, that's something to be thankful for. Or your battery on your phone is dead and you have no charger and all of a sudden one just appears. Like, those are little grateful things that we can be grateful for. The big things, but let's not forget the little things. So I just want to leave you with this. What can we do that intentionally expresses our gratitude towards God or others? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for being so kind and patient and generous with us during all the seasons of life. Help us to practice the discipline of gratitude all year round during the good and the hard times. Whether we are grateful or completely forget about gratitude, you love us the same, and that is something to celebrate and be grateful for. We love you so much. We say this in your son's name. Amen.